ready for it. Thursday here on the program, your bullet points include, did a former Obama official just admit that Trump's team was, in fact, spied on? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the 60-vote lie when it comes to Neil Gorsuch. The 60-vote lie. You want to hear that. Big day for Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. What happened? Well, he'd be here, but he's home counting the cash. Used cars are cheap, and the heroin killing spree continues. We'll talk about all of that. Plus, Ted Nugent joining us here in just a few minutes on the program for an extended interview. Don't miss that. Plus, Congressman Tim Walberg and a lot more. You're going to need coffee. You're going to need some tissues. You're going to need a sharp pencil and a piece of paper because this is the Steve Gerber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gerber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gerber.
All right, and thank you for dialing it in on this Thursday. Glad to have you here for the ride and the conversation. And, of course, if you want to be part of that conversation, the hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Don't be shy. Stand up, be somebody, then you can go tell your friends how great you are. All right, that's a fair deal, right? You can also follow us on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. It's all there for you. North Carolina's poised to flush that bathroom bill down the drain, that bathroom law down the drain. It's going to be closed. North Carolina Republican lawmakers and new Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, coming in late last night, they said they have agreed on legislation to resolve the standoff over the state's bathroom bill through a replacement measure that still restricts LGBT non-discrimination protections. GOP leaders announced the new legislation would be debated and voted on today, about 9 o'clock this morning, but it's unclear whether there's enough House and Senate votes to pass it. HB2 proposal is a bad deal that does not actually repeal HB2, says the Human Rights Campaign, but there you have it. The war in your bathroom continues. Do we not have better things to focus on than whether we allow people to go to make them all unisex. How about that? Make them all unisex and be done with it. Make small bathrooms that are unisex, be done with it. We don't have to argue about it and the whole world moves on. But until then, use the bathroom of your birthright, if you will. All right. So I was shocked by what I saw and heard from Evelyn Farkas. Evelyn Farkas, appearing on MSNBC to discuss a March 1st story of the New York Times about how, quote, the Obama administration rushed to preserve intelligence of Russian election hacking. That was the headline, all right? Mika Brzezinski there on Morning Joe introduced Farkas, who was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Obama administration. Says she actually knew about this attempt to get and preserve information. She was doing some of the work herself. You can't make this up. It was unbelievable. And she's acting like it's no big deal. But it seems that Evelyn Farkas may want to get an attorney. I want you to hear exactly what she said. It is clip 15 with Evelyn Farkas, former member of the Obama administration, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. Go ahead.
And then Evelyn Thanks. Farkas, the other big story of the day. You actually knew about this attempt to get and preserve information. And full transparency, we're doing some work yourself. Tell us
about
that.
Well, I was urging my former colleagues and frankly speaking, the people on the Hill. Mm-hmm. It was more actually aimed at telling the Hill people, get as much information as you can, get as much intelligence as you can before President Obama leaves the administration, because I had a fear that somehow that information would disappear with the senior people who left. So it would be hidden away in the bureaucracy, that the Trump folks, if they found out how we knew what we knew about the Trump staff's dealing with Russians, that they would try to compromise those sources and methods, meaning we would no longer have access to that intelligence. So I became very worried because not enough was coming out into the open, and I knew that there was more. We have very good intelligence on Russia. So then I had talked to some of my former colleagues, and I knew that they were trying to also help get information to the Hill.
A lot going on today.
Get information to the
Hill. That's why you have the leaking.
Exactly.
People are worried.
All right, so here you go. If the Trump folks found out about how we were gathering information, about our methods, she said, and she knew there was more, and they were trying to get it to the Hill. Does that sound like she was leaking? Does that sound like there was an active ongoing? It doesn't sound like they're looking into the Russians. Doesn't seem like they're trying to preserve the information on the Russians. Seems like she was admitting they were trying to unmask individuals. Sounds like she was involved with unmasking Americans, which is a felony, by the way. Unmasking Americans is flat out a felony under the U.S. code. But it sounds to me like that's exactly what she was discussing there. Explaining how to disseminate information, how to share it with as many people as possible, how to then get that information to the Hill. I've never heard anything quite like it. Trying to get that information to the Hill means they're disseminating it, which again is a felony. In fact, let me read to you Section 8 of the U.S. Code 1324, Federal Immigration and Nationality Act, Section 8 U.S.C. 1324, with a bunch of subsections. Any person who engages or induces an alien to reside, or I've got a different formula here, but keep going, to reside knowing or in reckless disregard of the fact that such residence is in violation of law shall be punished as provided for each alien in respect for whom such violation occurs. Got the wrong little piece of law here, but for a different story. At any rate, what she was doing is a felony. Aiding and abetting illegal aliens is also a felony, which is another story I'll get to here in a minute. My bad. Debbie Stabenow, on another big headline, has announced she will come out against Neil Gorsuch. I told you this yesterday. I told you it was a foregone conclusion. As soon as Chuck Schumer said he would oppose Neil Gorsuch, Debbie Stabenow was right up his alley. Clip 5, Debbie Stabenow and Neil Gorsuch. Play that for the folks.
For me, the most important thing is having the right person on the bench. It's not about process. I mean, people at home in Michigan aren't looking at process. They're looking at, is this person going to make the right decision? Are they impartial? Do they have the right values? And for me, the answer is no on this particular nominee.
So it's about the right person. It's not about, so the right person, a translation, listen, it's not a liberal, it's not somebody who I agree with, so therefore it's not the right person. Let's be specific about what we're talking about in this matter, all right? It is 14 after, we'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge, here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome back to it on this Thursday. Just before the break, I shared with you Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, her comments to not support Neil Gorsuch for who knows why. But let's dispose of this 60-vote lie. All right, let's dispose of this 60-vote lie you keep hearing. It's time to set the record straight, because despite what you've been told time and again, there is absolutely no 60-vote threshold on a final vote to get a Supreme Court justice confirmed to the bench. In fact, if you look at justices currently serving on the nation's high court, you'll find Justice Alito only received 58 votes, Clarence Thomas just 52 after the hit job he was nailed with, The only time you need 60 votes to get a nominated judge to be confirmed is if the nomination is filibustered, which, by the way, my friends, has never happened in American history. Never. Not once. Zero times. In fact, a cursory examination finds that only 12 justices have ever failed to get confirmation after getting to a vote. The most recent, of course, Judge Robert Bork, who was the focus of a smear campaign by Democrat Ted Kennedy. And at the time, the Reagan administration failed to respond quickly enough to save him and his nomination from collapsing. The Democrats would clearly be doing something unprecedented in filibustering a candidate that is not particularly controversial and is, in fact, considered a highly qualified justice by nearly all legal observers. For all the yelling and screaming from Democrats about Republicans doing something unprecedented, let me be clear, it is a flat-out lie. I know, shocking, right? Furthermore, in 2013, when then-President Barack Obama was putting forth judicial candidates that could not meet the 60-vote cloture threshold, which is basically being released for the vote, Harry Reid, the Democratic Majority Leader at the time, used the nuclear option to make the matter of confirmation a simple majority, and there's no cloture, so they just went through. Now, when Republicans are preparing to do the exact same thing, Reid's liberal progeny is apoplectic in response. They're flipping out with what's going on. And to be clear, Obama's minions were slamming through those justices to stack the court with far-left activist judges. If you may have noticed, we're still dealing with that today. Let me direct your attention to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I don't revere Mitch McConnell on many points, but on the Supreme Court, he has been masterful. He followed precedent by not allowing Merrick Garland to ascend to the Supreme Court. That was an idea, by the way, first suggested by a guy by the name of Joe Biden back in 1992, and that was not to allow a nominee to proceed if the vacancy occurred in an election year, a presidential election year. If the opening happened then, boom, it wouldn't go forward. McConnell also famously warned the weasel Dirty Harry Reid that payback would come someday. I am pretty sure, however, the Democrats failed to realize how soon the day of reckoning would come. And let's be honest. I mean, somebody has to. If roles were reversed, there is simply no question, none at all, none, that Chuck Schumer, that lizard, would do whatever he thought it would take to get a nominee through the process. And yes, I do mean anything. He would do anything to get his agenda forward. So I'm here to let you know those on the left are lying. They're lying to bury you in BS on this one. The fact of the matter is, they need 60 votes for cloture, not to get somebody confirmed. They just nearly need to give, hey, let's use the Democrat line. Give them an up or down vote, yes or no. An up or down vote. That's all we're asking for. Just give us an up or down vote and we'll move forward. But doesn't seem that's going to happen. And if that doesn't happen, then Mitch McConnell, who is clearly headed to put this man on the Supreme Court, will invoke new rules, will invoke the so-called nuclear option, so that it will take only a simple majority to get the vote to the floor. And once the vote's to the floor, Neil Gorsuch will be confirmed, possibly with more votes than, but in fact, I'd say it's almost for certain he'd get more votes than Clarence Thomas received when he was nominated. So you've got that right there. On another, I would guess several things I'd like to touch on today and work toward the Free for All Friday as well. Overdose deaths in America have set unprecedented numbers. In 2016, more than 50,000 Americans lost their lives due to overdosing. The majority, the vast majority, are opioids. Heroin killed nearly 13,000 by itself, which is more than all the people killed in gun-related homicides. In all, opioids claimed more than 35,000 lives. That's higher than the number of people killed in car wrecks last year. People are dying from street drugs and prescription drugs. The nation is so damn high, they're dropping dead all over the place. It seems the more liberal approach to drug use there is, the more tragic the results. The question is what to do about it. Should prescriptions and prescription so-called black label drugs be restricted further to help stop the epidemic of drug abuse and death. It's a major problem that's sweeping across the nation and leaving scores of broken families and fresh graves behind. It's time to deal with this challenge head on and curb this menace. And speaking of drug dealers and so forth, Detroit, a rap artist and music producer at the heart of an investigation into money laundering and what investigators say is a huge heroin empire, remains free today after the judge in the case refused to revoke his bond. Brian, please call me Peanut Brown, is a convicted felon of four previous convictions involving drugs, but despite an ongoing investigation, prosecutors are yet to charge him with new crimes in the case. Federal District Judge Nancy Edmonds took time to meet with both the prosecutor in charge of the case and Brown's defense attorney before concluding the 47-year-old is complying with the terms of his bond. He's out on bond from a 2016 firearms charge. The prosecutor, meanwhile, still called Peanut a threat to the community. Well, Peanut is going to be out on bond for a while. Now, when we come back here on the program, Ted Nugent will sit down with me. We'll have an extended conversation with Ted Nugent about music, about politics, and America in general. Always interesting and always fiery. It's 25 after on the Steve Gruber Show.